One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Retrospective. Basically, a load of shows where we give you the potted highlights and lowlights of a given season in the saddle as the Football Ramble. And we begin this show, the 2014-2015 season, by talking middle names.
But you already know, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Lovely to have you here. I'm here, Marcus C. Speller. I'm joined by Luke A. Moore.
Flavour.
What's your middle name, Pete?
Very little imagination on behalf of my parents. I don't have a middle name.
And Pete Donaldson.
Feel free to nominate a middle name for me.
I think that's lazy. I think that's a perfectly good feature. Opportunity to give someone a name and not give
it. Bearing in mind my dad, Stuart, he was insisting on calling me Diggory Donaldson for a long time. I don't think he should be asked to come up with a third name.
That's it, Pete Diggory Donaldson. Or Pete Donald Donaldson.
I've always fancied Marmaduke.
That would be fitting.
The big dog.
Yeah.
Diggory Donaldson sounds a bit like a sort of below par Death Row Records rapper. It wouldn't quite get his own record.
Diggory Donaldson.
Yeah, but he would get like a verse or two on a Snoop Dogg record.
Mixtape, like a mixtape. Yeah.
Or maybe, up there with Lady of Rage.
Or like a really bad mid-80s Spectrum game. Like Attic Attack.
Yeah, Diggory Donaldson.
Or Mummy.
Horace Goes Skiing, that's what. Yeah.
Well, Diggory Donaldson's...
Don't have got Horace.
Diggory Donaldson's in the house, ladies and gentlemen.
He was a system seller, Luke.
You see that, son? That's the woman I wish your mother was.
For the passion.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I thought you had one more Scottish story.
Oh, come on.
Come on. Come on, no, it isn't. Let's make it a top three.
All right. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. And this was a story from very much from yesteryear when Gary Locke was playing at fullback for Hearts. And Brian Laudrup had the ball for ages, bringing it forward. And Locke, he was caught between two men. He wanted to... Because obviously Laudrup's got the ball.
Yeah.
Alarm bells are ringing in any Scottish fullback when that happens. And he went to go to take him to go make a challenge. But then he thought, oh, no, I've still got a man to mark. So he kind of went back. And then he went, oh, no, but it's Laudrup. And he's gone forward. And then he's gone back. And he's gone in between these two players. This lad in the crowd, and this is a quote, it just stood up. He couldn't take it anymore. For fuck's sake, Locke! You're a man caught between two bus stops!
Marcus Speller's Scottish
more
story
of that.
Time.
Let's do some more next
week. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get Walt Smith involved next week.
I'm sorry. We really must move on.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
So there we are.
We look forward to some more Scottish capers. Well, that's more of a Polish one, really, but, you know, yeah. as the season goes on. What else we got? Continental Europe? These leagues are not underway yet.
No.
So we're not going to talk about them.
That clear.
South America, we're going to go there briefly. Now,
where they speak Argentinian.
They do. They speak Brazilian as well, and Chilean, and all the other aliens. People thought Brazil had taken a step back with Phil Scolari in charge, and obviously their World Cup campaign ended in disgrace.
Eh? What about this?
Well, Dunga's in charge now. What, Phil Scolari, he put us out. Who was the guy in the previous World Cup? We did a quarterfinals. Get him back.
Yeah.
Who's the guy with the we want to play haircut. Beautiful football. We want to play the Brazil way.
We want a manager with a roll neck.
We can't. Flat top and his daughter's clubs. If that isn't a step back, I don't know what it is.
That's how far they shot.
His daughter's clubs.
We are legitimately laughing at Brazilian national team football. That's how far they shot.
Oh dear.
This is going to make its way back to Brazil, and they're like, English people are laughing at us.
That haircut.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, Neil Warnock's back in the Premier League.
Yeah. He is.
Everyone apart from Palace fans are happy about that.
No one saw that coming, did they?
He's almost like the Peter Reid or Howard Wilkinson of now, where he just keeps popping up again. At
yeah, I
clubs.
Quite like that.
Someone said, asked him in his first press conference, and I heard this on Five Live, said...
they call you Colin Wanker.
Yeah. That's what they were thinking. They said, realistically, Neil, is this a long-term appointment? I mean, do you think you're going to be here in 5 years? And Neil Warnock legitimately said, well, I'm still alive in 5 years. You never know. At my age, you never know what's going to happen.
That's cheery, isn't it?
Bleak reflection on our own mortality.
I might be relegated from life.
I liked when he said, I know I was seventh choice, but I'm happy to be here and all that sort
Yeah,
of
take
stuff.
A note, Tim Sherwood.
Yeah.
Take a leaf out of Warnock's book.
It's nice to get out the house at my age.
Yeah. But who is currently the hardest manager in the Premier League, Jim?
I think...
Still, though, I think Pete, you're thinking Dyche as well, maybe?
I think he's stocky enough. I think he could take a couple.
Fair enough. But are you honestly telling me Sean Dyche should give Nigel Pearson a run for his money?
Well, Jim, you said Dyche there.
Yeah, well, I just think he does look quite hard. I think his voice throws me because, look, I appreciate this is quite an abstract thing, but his voice reminds me of what it would sound like if basically a ball bag that had been at the beach all day and was covered in sand... was like that's sort of what his voice is like to me.
A man's ball bag.
Does that make
a sandy ball bag? If a sandy ball bag had a voice,
right,
it would be Sean Dyche's voice. Is what I'm saying. Well, this has got nothing to do with the question, but I just thought I had to share it.
Does that make him hard or not?
I don't know.
Okay, it's a nice input.
A sandy ball bag that can talk.
Oh, he's not beating Pearson in a ruck.
No way. So this is it. The voice is weird, isn't it? The voice, if anything, actually, for this reason, is what makes you think maybe he's not all he's cracked up to be. Because it's not a hard voice, is it? It's a strange voice.
I sort of know what you mean, yeah. The beard undermines him as well, the goatee beard, yeah.
If anything, that adds to the sandy effect.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to get in touch, then... Well, yeah, okay, fair enough. So I'll go Hughes then.
He's making up the top three Hughes.
But are you... So you're saying Allardyce, Pearson...
Not just the win, but the actual performance.
Yeah.
Please, there were so many...
I can understand what you mean. Yeah. Voice like a sandy ball bag.
Get that ball bag off the beat.
To speak to him about the fact is, you know, to have that freedom to play us in a...
I'll go with that.
Listeners, just so you know, that is not the mystery voice competition. Well, actually, that comes later.
Is the mouth at the bottom of the testicles or just in the cradle between the testicles inside the scrotum?
I think everyone would picture that differently.
I see the face and the mouth above the actual testes and the top of the bag.
Yeah, sitting on the top.
The meat of the balls would probably create the chin.
You would have to lift up the penis to allow Sean to breathe and talk.
Yeah, and I mean, he's been at the beach all day. He's covered in sand, and he's not happy.
Would he have been covered in suntan lotion as well? Or would it make him sticky?
Tan lotion your balls? I don't.
Yes, not.
If they're wafting about the place.
This is taking a turn.
I've got to draw a turn.
Agbonlahor scored in that game as well, I think.
It's strange, isn't it, how certain teams are such a bogey side to others.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They've really got their number.
Do you think it was Roy Keane on the bench, looking absolutely terrifying, wearing that black and grey beard?
Yeah.
Like a badger.
Luke,
it's not going
that.
Grey. It's not going yeah. grey, is it? It's just, it's grey and black.
But yeah,
there's,
yeah.
There's no...
It'll be that colour till he dies, probably.
Mm. I'm not sure he will die.
No, he won't. If he could die, in theory. Him and Keith Richards, just yeah. alive at the end of the time.
And how much would Keith Richards annoy Roy Keane?
Yeah. Yeah, he would. So he would. Much. Yeah, yeah. He'd talk. He'd have like. He'd be annoyed that he had no like discipline. And,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Even yeah. though Keith Richards was the only other human on the planet, Keane would just leave.
Yeah, he would. Yeah. So we should probably bomb Keith Richards a bit. We should probably get together, you know, and strengthen numbers and stuff. No.
Prefer the cockroaches to you, you prick.
Go
if
away.
They, if they were the
fuck
last,
off.
If they were the last two human beings on Earth,
yeah.
and for whatever reason, just bear with me, they were to get married. I think Roy Richards or Keith Keane would sound quite nice.
would, <yeah. laughs> I think that Roy Keane quite likes a lot of Rolling Stones songs, almost despite himself.
Yes,
he doesn't agree with the lifestyle mm. and the lack of discipline and yeah, how they live yeah, their yeah. lives, but he taps his foot to
Brown
Sugar.
They're
do you know
still
what I mean?
Going. They're still he's going. They're pretty disciplined in their own way.
It's true.
Probably respect that.
He respects them now. He's the yeah. only male now, so he likes them more now because of their disciplined regime.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. he still won't talk to him.
Are you sure I don't have to track back, Roy?
And that sums up Liverpool Aston Villa.
Let's move on.
Yeah. No, I think that on the pitch.
Yeah. yeah. But still way more passionate than fans that would be like on the pitch yeah. in most countries.
Can I talk to you about Gunsy and the New York Red Bulls?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
Briefly just
I thought that might have been your highlights of the week.
Oh, no, that's because I'll leave that bit to the listeners.
No, okay, fair enough.
But I don't think me going to Red Bulls was any of their highlights of the week.
All
if
right.
it was, they haven't made it.
No, but we all
money.
Have a personal one, of course.
Of course. I think that, yeah, I would like to tell you that New York Red Bulls against DC United was a really good game.
Yes.
And New York Red Bulls won 1-0. Last one was pretty much last kick of the game. But what I want to tell you about is this really funny moment that happened. One of the funniest things I've seen at a football game, right? I was standing... I haven't told you this already, have I? So just for the benefit of the listener, I promise this is so good.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, so DC United manager is a manager called Ben Olsen, I think. He's a tracksuit manager, really really sort of like animated.
Danish?
I think he's American.
Okay.
He certainly seems American. I haven't checked that. But anyway, he's really animated. He's always up on his feet, always in the technical area. Mm. Waving his arms around, all that sort of stuff, right? And I think halfway through the first half, DC United had a man sent off for a late tackle. I didn't see, it was miles away from where I was sitting and I haven't seen it back, but a lot of people seem to suggest it was a dodgy red, that it shouldn't have gone, they shouldn't have walked. But of course, they had to play like two-thirds of the game with 10 men. And Ben Olsen got really pissed off. Like, he was like throwing his arms around. You could hear him shouting. Mm. He was like properly angry, like a real apoplectic Diego Simeone type rage. Yeah. And then we were right behind the benches. Yeah. And this guy, this American guy, New York Red Bulls fan, behind me, next to me, behind the bench,
yeah.
just starts going, "Coach! Coach! 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 Coach!" He did it about 15 times till Ben Olsen turned around. And when Ben Olsen turned around, he just went, "Woo!" Oh, I was wow. like, that is the most annoying thing you could do. It is so good. And I'm not joking. He said coach so many times, I actually had time to think, like, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
What's he going to do?
Yeah,
he's not leaving this. What's he going to do? It is so good. But I have to say thanks.
Woo! It's the Football Ramble. Pete Donaldson here, back in my edit suite, pulling out all of the foul tendrils of the 2014-2015 Football Ramble guts. And it almost seems quaint that there was ever a time in which drones could just go about their business buzzing around the sky without having airports shit a brick and shutting down the entire country. Roll clip.
If you could fly a drone into a stadium, what would you do with it?
The drone bone, no. I would, you know, like those grabby machines at the fair. I would have like that mechanism attached to a drone, and I would
pull a player's head off.
Like this already.
Well, no, just go into the crowd and pick up a supporter, and then put it in the away end.
Yeah.
completely at random.
Excellent.
And because. And
no, not at random. If they're misbehaving.
Well, that's what I was thinking. No, but I think it would temper everyone a little bit. Everyone would stop being dicks if they knew that at some point.
Apart
they might
from
find
the away
themselves,
end,
that we'd have much more objectionable people in football stadiums.
Yeah.
I think because at one point you'll be dropped in the middle. You might be dropped in the middle of the away fans. So if you're giving it the swearies just at random, the drone could pick you up and plop you in the middle.
But it'll
of
be
the
more trusty than the ones at the, you know, on Brighton Pier or wherever.
They could drop you.
They
could
drop you.
Could
put your head off. Actually,
like, yeah. just drop you on one of the spikes or something, on the goalposts.
It sounds like something that would happen in the Arnold Schwarzenegger film, like Running Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any of those sort
any
of 80s
of
movies.
I mean, drones are quite small, so they've got more tricks up your sleeve. It's very fertile ground.
Yeah. Indeed. Well, you may have seen a picture of this. The way that Zeman's team lined up against Inter at the San Siro when they took kickoff, all but two players were stood on the halfway line, yeah, raring to go.
That is so intimidating.
It's so good, isn't it? It is brilliant, that. It
was unworkable.
Very, I didn't unworkable.
They won 4-1, Pete. All four goals they scored in the first half.
You do the maths.
Not having it.
Well, it's fact now.
I didn't see anything beyond the actual screenshots, so I'm not sure what they actually did after the game kicked off. You know specifically what they did?
No, I don't think it was like a Mighty Ducks thing. They just rearranged to confuse the other team. Went forward in a big V.
And they scored four goals.
Yeah. I think it was...
Inter worked out what was happening. I'm asking questions of that Inter team.
I don't think it was like the Scunthorpe rush or the Scunthorpe rush being... What Ali McLeod, I think his name was, the Scotland manager who took them to the 78 World Cup, where he lined everyone up on the halfway line and take kickoff, launch it to their fullback, and just everyone try and charge him down. And apparently, for Scunthorpe, in like an early FA Cup game or something like that, it worked. Whereas McLeod tried that against, I think it was the Czechoslovakia, it would have been at the time, in like a World Cup qualifier. And the Czech fullback just looked at them all and like, cheers, knocked it over their head. And the Czech fullback went up there and they didn't score, they hit the post.
Oh,
everyone's sitting in Hampden Park going, McLeod, what are you doing?
It worked once.
Yeah.
He was an utter Ali McLeod. But
that's like Scottish independence. You'll only get one vote.
Yeah. You get one shot at it.
Don't mess it up.
You get one shot at the Scotland rush or the Scunthorpe rush, whatever you call it.
I think Ali McLeod, knowing the sort of character he was, would have quite liked that to be called the Ali rush.
I reckon so.
Hey, look.
Yeah, I think we're done. Yeah. It's all on the website, isn't it?
All on there. Get yourselves over there. Let's go to Argentina for a funny little story, which I saw in Said and Done. A story from the lower leagues of Argentina, no doubt, or no less. The president of club side Textil Mandiu, Jorge Abib, has denied claims from the team's players that he broke into their apartments and robbed them after a defeat.
It's
outrageous.
It's funny because it's a really serious crime.
Shouldn't have to deny that, though.
No.
It's true, it's a long night as well.
It's a lot of apartments.
They all live in the same block.
He's like the anti-claws, isn't he? He's like Santa Claus.
I like they all live in the same block, and he thought, well, I've done one. Well, I'm here.
How angry do you have to be? Yeah. I'm taking back from you. One of the players said that President Abib stole cash and made death threats, with another quoted as saying, it was wild, the president smashed everything up. Busy evening.
By your 11th break-in, how are you still that angry?
I don't know.
Have you not been caught?
Were they all out? It must have been.
Yeah. So the police have been called, and they've not put together that nine players of the same team have been robbed, and they've got no idea who the next two are going to fucking be. It's a joke. What are they paying the police for?
They've got one of those wall charts where there's a string connecting everything.
It's just a 4-4-2.
We don't know who's next.
Well, hang on. Abib responded. President Abib responded. He said, it's lies. These players are bums and drunks. If anything, they rob me.
Oh, you're in their house.
Yeah. One thing that hasn't happened is that they robbed you. That hasn't happened.
P.S. Would anyone like to buy a Blu-ray player?
Oh, dear.
But they both did laugh after that, I should say. So, Ryan, thank you very much for that. Jim, you've got an email as well.
I do have an email. It's from a friend and luminary of the Ramble, Murray James. He has only gone and done us a big shop 11. So get ready. Get ready.
All right, we're ready. In goal,
we've got Peter Checkout. Strong, isn't it?
Yeah.
Left back, Barco Di Sanya. Centre back, Paolo Mildilmi.
Yeah, it's excellent, mate.
Other centre back is Bogoff Melberg, as in buy one, get one free. Yep. Then at right back, you've got John Arne Freezer. Left midfield, I'll just do the midfield, you've got Veggie Blinker.
Veggie Blinker.
Trollivier Decor. Yeah. Sergio Baskets. John Joe Shelvesy. And up front, you've got Jan Venegar of Household Inc. and Roberto Badgying area. On the bench, you've got Iker Casillas. Yeah. Ibrahima Bakery Oko. Meat Chew. Farmacia Boo. And Tony Derigo. Manager, Bip, Bip, Bip Guardiola. Assistant manager, Alan Pardew. 3-2. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Hashtag go fuck yourselves, Murray.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Murray.
Excellent work.
Yeah, it was lovely to see you, Murray.
Heads up, it's the Ramblers.
Hold up. Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Pin them in. Yeah. But yeah, England did. I mean, it's, you know, not the kind of opposition that will probably get to the latter stages of the European Championship. But Scotland have been playing well. They were off the back of a good win.
That's enough about England.
Yeah.
Glasgow looked beautiful over the weekend, watching the Partick match on Sky. Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. I had a lovely time. Yeah. And met a couple of chaps, didn't I? One of them called Terry Venables, and another one called Craigie Bruton.
Oh, wow. Yeah. There cannot be a single person who's ever listened to The Ramble and has access to the internet that has not seen this. But in case there is, you should probably tell them.
Oh, Craigie, what a man. What a lovely, genuinely lovely man. He really was. Just quickly before we move on, they did make me laugh because we were doing a little thing for Ball Street, thing I worked with for the fan game, which was happened beforehand. And I said to Craig Brown, I heard your team talk just consisted of you saying, lads, it's England. And he went, no. He said, all I said was, lads, it's them. He was like, we wouldn't dignify you as giving your name, you know. And then Terry Venables, to be fair to him, and he said, and all I said to them was, lads, it's us.
Nice.
Which good. I thought was very good. Very good indeed. Right.
But he was knowledgeable about football and suddenly was commentating on the FA Cup. He was so excitable and he got the right game for it as well. I don't know who the man is, but I want to hear more of
it. It's great. My favourite bit was when Leon Best hit one over the bar when he perhaps should have done it. He went, Leon Best! Oh no! Goal kick!
That's right. You've got the shrill tone very well there.
Thank you very much. I've been practising all afternoon.
Yeah,
Nick Hewer. You've got track record of practising impressions.
I don't know what you mean.
Is that Bob Hoskins?
I think so. There's nothing wrong with that.
And that's Nelson Mandela, right?
Yeah. Or no. Now, Southampton 1.
Wow.
Just edit that out for crying out loud.
No.
Southampton 1, Ipswich 1. A decent result for Ipswich.
No. We are not moving on from that yet.
Before we go to Pete's mystery voice game, let's go quickly to Thailand, where former Newcastle favourite Noblerotu Solano has reportedly agreed to take the reins at third tier side who are in City.
Could he not get a Newcastle nod?
Well, you'd think so. I mean, what I would say is notable womaniser nubber, Aslana going to a notable flesh pot.
flesh pot.
There you go.
I am making no comment on that.
Well, I'm saying third tier side in Thailand.
I mean,
come on.
I'm loath to side.
If this was a crime, if this was like the Serial podcast or something, I'd have a big chart on the wall with a piece of string going from a pair of boobs to Nobby's eyes. And that's all it would be. There'd be nothing else on the chart.
Trumpet? Would there be a trumpet?
Yeah, maybe a trumpet. Yeah. It's a side concern.
A travel trumpet.
Just leaning against the bedroom door.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
What is he doing?
Good luck to him.
He said he wanted a role in England.
Yeah.
Is
Peter Reed still there? He wanted a role in a
bed. Is Peter Reed still there?
It's not. I don't know.
No, Peter Reed is always out there, Jim. Now, it seems almost inconceivable that the Football Ramble was ever allowed to leave the country, these fine isles, but we were. We were. And in the chilly February Norwegian night, we did a show in a hall in Oslo. It was amazing. A good time was had by all. A ridiculous amount of people turned up to see us in a foreign land. It was weird. It was wonderful. And a man rocked up with some tinned fish for me, which was definitely my highlight. And Marcus had a story about rosy-cheeked Kevin De Bruyne and his foul mouth, and I had some wicked whispers about the whole situation.
After shouting at the young lad during his team's match against Frankfurt, "Give me the ball, you motherfucker." That kind of reminded me.
He learned that at Chelsea, didn't he?
Yeah. It reminded me of that scene in The Usual Suspects, if you've ever seen The Usual Suspects. "Give me the keys, you fucking cop."
Yeah.
Would the ball boy have to have a line-up of the footballers in case he couldn't remember?
He doesn't need to be that rude.
Especially to someone who's helping him get...
Yeah, yeah. And he's probably about 12 years old.
Yeah, let's not forget, he's an actual child. I mean, that's one of those moments where you go, this is going to repeat on me. Yeah.
James Morrison would have punched him.
To be fair, isn't there rumours that De Bruyne might go back to Chelsea, though? The problem is, his girlfriend slept with Courtois, which is quite interesting.
How do you know this?
Because it was in all the newspapers. She cheated on him with Courtois. It's all very kind of backstage at WrestleMania, but it's very exciting. That woman does not have a vagina. She has a youth development policy. imagine how technically qualified as footballers.
Yeah, I should think so.
I don't know what to say to that.
No. Can we go back to the macaroons thing? If we could.
Marvellous.
You're not even here.
He might be. He's just denying it. He doesn't want to tell you anymore. Yeah. Yeah. What about this from Sam? What is the biggest animal you think you could single-handedly cling film to a lamppost? Our listeners, ladies and gentlemen.
That is all of us in the room, presumably, will be familiar with the largest animal you can throw single-handedly over a crossbar.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a similar question. Immediately, I'm thinking claws. I'm thinking you don't want an animal with claws.
Yeah.
Because it's going to come. Medium-sized fish.
Medium-sized
like fish? Like a tuna.
A fish would be so difficult because getting cling... I'm a clumsy man, so cling film is my natural enemy. Getting cling film out anyway would be difficult. You've got to go for a snake. It's the shape. You hold it with a hand, you can get quite a big snake as well, and you just wrap it around.
Well, if you're holding it with one hand, it's not a big snake.
Yeah, but it can still be a long snake.
Actually, get a constrictor snake and it'll wrap itself around the lamppost anyway.
Yeah, and then you
just
whip
the cling film around.
Just get it to
done.
Help you.
Just draw a face on it.
Yeah.
I reckon a tortoise.
Tortoises are heavy though. My mum.
I'm thinking that you'd have to tape its mouth up, but I think a beaver.
A beaver?
Yeah.
There is no way you could cling film a beaver to a lamppost. I'm just putting that.
It's a collective.
And I hate saying that.
It's not a collective.
But the thing is, though, the way you said that then, just a beaver really confidently, it made me think that you'd already done it.
Yeah.
People are leaving and see one.
Out of all the things that have been said, why are you kicking off about that?
I just think a beaver's unrealistic for a man of your stature.
Wouldn't the beaver start just like hacking at the lamppost?
Taping up the mouth.
It's gonna put
cruelty.
That's just cruel.
All right, medium-sized fish.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I don't mean a medium-sized fish like when you go to a chip shop. I mean, like, an actual, like, a big bluefin tuna.
You can
or
get a fish supper around it. Yeah.
They're not that northern that they can't imagine any other fish in the world.
They're southern to you.
Could you get gravy in there as well? Yeah. So, and the final question...
impression. Yeah,
it's great, though, isn't it? It's great to hear a player say that.
You're damn right it is. You're damn right it is. There was a bit of glitz and glamour at Watford on the weekend because Sir Elton John was there. He was present and addressing the fans after a stand was named after him at Vicarage Road. He's had a lot of investment into that club.
Yeah, former
and
director.
Lifelong fan.
Former director and all that, yeah.
Yeah,
he's,
yeah.
He's had a busy week. Didn't he fall over at the tennis or something?
That's not a busy week. Falling over once. How's that a busy week?
Well, Stephen Crocker seems to have had a busy week and he fell over.
Going home for the weekend, I've been chock-a-block. What did you do? I fell over.
When he's at that age, that's a hip risk.
Fall before a pride,
Elton John looks like an aunt, doesn't he?
Yeah. So he does, yeah.
It's bad to fall when you're an aunt of that age. So when you say you're busy...
You're on your arse.
Just been falling over.
Just me and a zob. Falling constantly.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, Watford won. They won for Sir Elton and themselves.
Great to hear like an international player playing in the Southern Premier
League. Oh, yeah.
Lee Curtis, well, a few people got in touch with this one, but Lee Curtis was first, so he gets the name check. St Mirren's captain Stephen Thompson.
Oh, this is amazing.
Goring teammate John McGinn through the thigh with a spiked pole in a training ground prank.
Prank.
He threw it at him, didn't he? And
yeah.
He just joking around.
Well, I know that. I love that was his explanation. I didn't mean anything like that. It was just a joke. What you threw a spear at him as a joke?
Yeah, but you can imagine though
if you've got a spear.
This is how the BBC reported it. Thompson threw a spiked pole at McGinn, which pierced his thigh and meant the 20-year-old missed the Saturday game against Kilmarnock. The Scotland under-21 midfielder is expected to be out for a further 3 weeks with the injury. I'm mortified by the whole thing, said Thompson. It was a daft prank. The 36-year-old then added, I threw it for a laugh, stupid me trying to be funny, and unfortunately it's anything but. It's a total disaster.
This guy's got a past for this as well.
This guy's literally old enough to be his dad.
But it's not a prank, is it?
No.
Launching an enormously spiky
object. Well, Lee Curtis finishes off by saying, well, they won the game 4-1. His methods are unorthodox, but damn, they get results.
That's amazing.
I wonder who's next in the reign of terror.
Yeah. This guy has also been out injured before because I think he sliced a nerve in his hand when cutting up an apple. And he was also out for a time because he fell off of a banana boat on holiday.
Wonderful.
Something of the Keegan about this guy.
Captain. He's captain of the team.
He wasn't captain of the boat, though, was he?
The manager's like, that's captain material, that.
It's the fact it's a banana boat. If it was just a boat...
How few leaders do they have in that squad?
Their last captain died because he set up a trebuchet and fired himself over a wall.
Well, old Jimmy was going to be captain, but he's got his foot caught in a bear trap. So he's lost a yard.
Oh, we're on a mother flipping boat, and there's always time for news of Eric C.
Oh, what about this, eh? Former Manchester United star Eric Cantona has denied that he's been in a pornographic film.
I've seen it.
Yeah, did you?
I saw the scene.
Okay, yeah, when I first saw this, it says Cantona denies he's in a pornographic film, and I just had visions of him being interviewed about something completely different. I've not been in a porno. Have you been in a porno? Well, I just said I hadn't.
Why are you bringing the porno? Why are you bringing the porno away?
Yeah, but that's not the reason. He plays a character called The Stud in the French film You and the Night.
I think, like, the reporting around this is so childish.
It really
is. It's so, like, deliberately ignorant. Oh, it's got boobs in it. It must be porn.
That said, though...
Oh, they just say it's art. It's not art.
That said...
It's in the Football Ramble.
I've seen the scene. I'm not really sure what's happening, because I presume it's in French. And he enters the scene. There's a couple of people. There's a man who's dressed as...
the scene.
There's
a man I know better than them, it turns out.
Is the scene friends with the stud?
There's a man...
Let him finish, Louis.
There's a man... He's dressed in kind of, like, almost farmer's gear kind of thing on a farmer on a day off kind of gear, and there's a sexy young man who's dressed as like a maid, like a little makeup on and stuff, and Eric Cantona gets his penis out and the male maid starts stroking it.
Well, I never.
But apparently it's a stunt penis. It's a lovely piece of work, but apparently I've read up on it.
The film or the penis?
I've read up on it, and it's a stunt penis. Right. So
it's a lovely piece of work.
Is that prosthetic, or is that someone's job?
A prosthetic. It's stunt penis. I don't know. I think in porn, stunt penises, a man who just finishes a job where other
men
can't.
Failed his exams. Yeah. That's what it is.
It earns more than people who would be the flying colours.
Well, critics have described the film as a superb artistic orgy. If anyone's interested, Cantona said it's just a piece of art. Sounds a bit.
It's just a bit of fun.
It's just banter. It's beautiful. You should see it.
He's talking about penis.
Yeah, I was about to. Is that mine?
But imagine if he sort of came into like this dressing room
during a match and did that. A man just came in and started stroking.
I don't think he needs to improve the situation for him.
It would improve him not looking like a giant penis all the time, which I'm sure he's interested in on some level. The thing I didn't like is I'm right in saying he left Carlos Hill out the starting lineup.
Did he?
And to me, that just seems a bit like, oh, he's a foreign fancy man. He's not going to work hard. And it's like, you could do with that sort of player to unlock a door against Newcastle. Well, Newcastle have got fragile confidence themselves.
Yeah. And a terrible back four.
Exactly. They'll be apart from Yama, who's doing all right, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's a classy player. He's a classy international
footballer.
He doesn't
know what he's doing there.
Oh, I don't know what's happening.
I'm being managed by John Carver now. I'm being managed by a northeastern fist.
Just yearns for the days when he didn't know who John Carver was.
Yeah. I would do what you say, boss, but I've no idea what you're saying, so I'm just going to do what I want.
And your assistant Steve Stodd just looks like a big flesh-coloured penny. He's not very good at coaching, it seems.
One thing you do have now, though, is a Jonas. That's good.
I know, yeah, Jonas is back. That was nice. That was nice to run over to Jonas to not remonstrate. What's the opposite of remonstrating? Damn it, Jonas. Why are you back? What's wrong with you two?
I think they're still laughing at the flesh colour.
Dealing in your new currency.
Oh.
Yeah, but they won. They beat.
I'd love to see Steve Stone on a penny.
You could probably get one of those old England coins with Steve Stone on it.
Yeah. Steve Stone's a legend for Portsmouth.
Pull a few people in for that one. You know what I mean? Like when you see teams like I remember when I think Millwall were in.
Oxford United and Luton Town. Yeah. Those types of, the thing that I find quite distasteful.
Grimsby as well, you know.
Because they're a league club for a number of years. The thing I don't like, I find quite distasteful, is that the media keep putting like monetary value on all these games. So they say they talk about the championship. Yeah. They talk about the championship playoff final as the £100 million game, and they talked about the conference playoff as the £1 million game. It's like fans want to see their teams win, and want their teams get promoted. They want to enjoy the day. I don't think it's great if a bunch of fans go to a game thinking, "Oh, the club will be £100 million richer if we win this." It's like they want to see their team win at Wembley.
True.
It's really crass.
But if they had a guy at the side of the pitch with a huge check, you'd think that's fair enough.
Yeah, you don't need big checks anymore.
But the reason it's distasteful is because it doesn't mean anything to the fans. All it means to them is they're going to have to pay more for their season tickets.
Yeah, I think if there was a transaction right there and then...
You want a big check, that's all you want.
Basically.
Yeah, okay.
We have to wait for comic relief
They could put the club's bank balance statement up on the big screen at Wembley, and when it drops in, do you hit refresh? When it drops in, everyone goes,
"Yeah, amazing."
It should change, like, depending
on
the...
Get creative with it, guys.
It should change depending on the score as well.
Yeah, okay,
that's what I'm talking
get,
about.
Get, like, a film baddie into the centre set and go, the funds are being transferred. Yeah!
Each end, because you know at Wembley they separate the fans by each end, so above that fans, those fans, so say above the Grimsby fans, you get like the picture of their back balance, and above the Bristol Rovers you get a picture of theirs, and the money just keeps going over back and forth.
You have the princes and paupers ends, and they switch over.
With the ball.
And Bruce Forsyth's involved somehow.
And losing fans have to donate their clothes. And they've got to walk home in barrels.
They literally have to leave in bin liners.
Then they have to just go down a mine.
And just work.
That's proper bragging rights.
That's Grimsby anyway. What?
Have a bit of fun with it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. That's all we want.
that's one of them.
Yeah. Right, it's been good, hasn't it?
I would have to say, it's probably watching that Carly Lloyd hat-trick. I was in America at the time.
Way!
You didn't mention
you
that you
do
went
like
to America
right these days, don't you?
Hashtag travel.
Luke went to America for a couple of weeks, and on every Instagram...
Already wrong.
All right, how many weeks?
No, carry on.
10 days.
I'll have questions at the end.
Don't, Pete, don't get dragged into it.
Right, yeah, I shouldn't be getting dragged into it.
I'll have questions at the end.
And under every post next to him eating a Philly cheesesteak, he wrote the hashtag travel. Yeah, like it was, you know, in, I don't know, Vladivostok or
hashtag
something.
Travel, hashtag stateside. He's doing it because Alan Wicker couldn't.
Hashtag take me out to the ball game. Hashtag crackerjacks. Wonderful.
Sorry, I thought this was my highlight of the summer.
That was my highlight of the summer.
Yeah, ours has been your hashtag.
Pete here, back again, interjecting, so it sounds like I've actually done something with the shows myself. I'd like to personally apologise for this next bit, but what I will say is that, like you lot, I've never been caught doing it in a hotel room and being blackmailed by the Russian government.
What if you could organise an event for Newcastle United, which was more appropriate, perhaps, for the club?
What would you come up with, Peter? What about you?
I think a fitting end to the Premier League season for the Newcastle United
relegation.
Players is, apart from relegation, is, you know, you need something a bit more pageantry, bit of ceremony. I'm thinking a lovely match of piss jousting. So,
right.
So two players...
Is that an event?
Yeah, piss jousting, where you just stand next to each other, pee on each other. One person's going to win, one person's going to lose. But either way, both of them are going to...
Both people
are
going
to lose. Both people are going to get piss on them.
Where's the jousting?
Let me get me answer out, Marcus Speller, ringmaster.
All right.
This isn't an event.
Piss jousting.
So Marcus, is it like a tournament?
It's all they deserve and it's all I can muster.
Marcus is looking at me with despair on his face, shrugging his shoulders, saying, I don't know how this has happened.
Well, technically it's on his watch, so yeah. He's failed to control
it. You're a guest and he's failed to control it. Read it in your piss track.
And if you are coming to the live show on Friday,
that's a
piss
sort of
joust
in. That's the sort of quality you can expect.
Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen.
Seriously, if you are coming to the live show on Friday, bring a change of clothes.
Yeah,
I've not heard of piss joust either until now.
No.
Excellent. I was thinking,
is it excellent?
Yeah.
Well, no, it's over. Mm. That's what's excellent about it.
I thought... I like Smoggies.
They're a good bunch of Middlesbrough.
Yeah, they seemed all right on the day as well. Marcus, it was before the whistle went off. You indulged on what can only be described,
deary me,
as a piss joust.
What,
Marcus?
I don't know anything about this.
So actually... excited that you were about my, you know, revelation of a piss joust, you couldn't wait to get in a cubicle with a man doing a piss joust.
Who was the man? Marcus, tell us everything.
Sadly, this is all true.
Set the scene. Set the scene. We're at Wembley.
We're at Wembley. We're in.
In the cheap seats. We're in.
We're going to
enemy lines. We made it in. You're not used to it because you're in the cheap seats. You don't know where to go.
I can't believe it.
No.
At half time, I thought, well, is someone going to bring my dinner to me?
So there's two kinds of toilets. There's two kinds of toilets. There's a big old queue for the urinal toilets.
Yes.
And then there's another block of toilets that is just cubicles. And so
Pete and I, for some reason, were talking about your teeth.
I was saying, the people in the northeast have strong teeth because there's a lot of fluoride right in the water.
Oh, is that
right?
Okay.
And this bloke turned around and went, have you got good teeth, like? And went, yeah, I have.
And then he proceeded to tell us his dental history.
I've never had a filling. And he goes, oh, I've got a bridge here and I can't abide bad teeth, mate. And he's like really annoyed about the possibility.
In a really friendly manner.
Yeah, he was really lovely. He was really nice.
Anyway, so
big ginger block.
Pete went off into his cubicle. I waited like a civilised member of society. And this man went into a cubicle, which was a slightly bigger one, and started beckoning me to come in and join him pissing in this bowl. And I was a bit like, nah, you're all right, mate, I'll just wait a minute. He's like, no, come on. He was really keen for me to get in there.
Yeah.
Very, very seldom in my life have I ever given in to peer pressure. Mm. That was one of those moments.
So basically, out of your own politeness, out of your own crippling Britishness, you just had a piss joust.
So you shared toilet bowl in not a large cubicle, as I recall.
When he said peer pressure, did you say pee pressure?
Kind of, yeah.
Enjoyable.
Well, yeah, so there he was. We were both weeing into the same bowl. And the conversations you have as an Englishman, you always have to comment on what's going on.
Oh, that's big. that's getting bigger.
So I genuinely...
That's coming towards me.
So I genuinely sort of went, well, you've been storing that up, haven't you?
Don't comment on the volume. Do not comment.
Inappropriate that.
On the volume of a man's bladder.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
And then we decided to discuss the volume of urine coming out of the man's knob.
You're a savant.
You know?
Game was good, wasn't it?
That's it. This is what happens when I'm in the cheap seats. Mm-hmm. I just don't know how to act.
No.
Yeah, so I went back, told Pete this, and Pete went, you've actually been piss jousting, haven't you? And I thought the shame of it.
Terrible. Mm.
Kind of liked it, though, ladies and gentlemen. Get involved if you can.
If you said to me, you two went to the football and one of you ended up in a cubicle. I would have probably put my entire mortgage on it being absolutely right as Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have even considered that it could have been Marcus.
Keep them guessing, ladies and gentlemen. Always keep them guessing.
Public.
Yeah. You've signed who as a coach? Duncan Ferguson.
Yeah. I've Googled him. Is it that one? Is it the one that comes up on Google?
My dad told me about him.
I forgot to mention the Southport. We spoke about Southport, didn't
Southport,
we?
Yeah.
The keeper, David Ray Mountain, he played really well. He's on loan from Blackburn.
He did play well,
He came from... he didn't come from Barcelona, but he came from the city of Barcelona.
Right.
But he tweeted, one of the weirdest feelings I've ever had. Sadness,
but at the same time, happiness. That's what football do to you.
Oh, that's nice.
That's what football do to you.
He was pleased with his own performance.
I want that to be, that sounds to me like it should be the catchphrase of like a football playing cartoon character.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of each episode, that's what football do to you.
I know, I think it's more like it's a character that FIFA would have. Yeah. So when FIFA go into a country and go, yeah, so we'll have all your tax profits from the last 10 years.
Yeah.
We'll have all your stadiums made by the end of the year. We will fleece the crap out of you.
We now run your law system.
Exactly. Yeah. So when they get up and leave the meeting and the local government is just sitting there in tatters, the bloke just turns to them and goes, that's what football do to you. Yeah. And off he goes.
Or just like an aerial shot of loads of skulls spelling out, that's what football do to you.
Hello, is that FIFA? Yeah, it's, we had the World Cup like 2 summers ago, and now like, all our stadiums are empty and everyone's poor.
I'm wondering when the money's going to come through. We have invoiced you.
Yeah.
There were football duty.
Is that that American bloke who's made of hair? Yes.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. Chuck Blazer, you're going on 2 motorised scooters and have got a separate Manhattan apartment just for your clothing. That what football do to you?
Yeah. That's what rising house prices do to you.
Yeah.
Chuck Blazer, eh?
Mm. What's what the show's going to be called this week?
And so we end with a glorious creation from some genius who got on the old Ableton and created this fantastic rap just for you guys and the Football Ramble. I'll apologise right now because I can't actually find the original email, but thank you to whoever did this. We'll see you next time with the Rambles from the 2015-2016 season. Take it away, you marvellous, marvellous man.
And some lols, podcasts equivalent of Louis Van Gogh. Marcus Stella is the Eddie's the boss. He loves a piss joust and them Adidas comps. He grew up just north of the border.
He loves Man U,
but he's a Gorby Boy supporter. Pete here works for Absolute Radio. His dream is one day him and Pods will share a Winnebago. He hates the Black Caps of Sunderland because Diggory will always represent us. Lukey Moore is one of the originals. A Pompey boy who loves to stir the pot with Liverpool. An honest chap is your ally of the week because
I'm out shagging every night, mate.
Jim's here.
It's getting too hot to handle because Freeze
Company before's a ramble.
He makes his money being funny, he ain't spiteful. Shame his Venga boys won't ever win another title. Heads up, it's the Ramblers. New season brought back to us. Shout out to the always excellent Kelly Wells. And if you don't like it, you can
go fuck yourself.
Very sort of a physically impressive penis.
Like John described it.
I'll put that at the end.
Please do.
Still recording, Luke.
But keep it a mystery as to whose penis I'm talking about.
Oh, right. Okay.
No,
okay.
Cheers, Luke.
Cheers,
This was a Radio Staccato production.